He just got saved, I think probably a month, and just began to change, coming to prayer meeting. And I didn't have to tell him to do that. He got saved. He started coming Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then he started coming to men's prayer meeting on Saturday night. And one Sunday, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, next Saturday, there's a big soccer deal going on in Windsor, Connecticut. I believe it's Windsor or East Windsor." And he said, Thursday, he said, "If you have opportunity to come," he said, "I just want you to come down. I want you to meet some of my players, teammates." That's the word. I'm into sports. Listen, I had zero interest in soccer. I mean, come on, soccer? And I thought, he plays. Of course, he had the long hair, was, you know, down past his ankles, dragging down the street. So I went, and I'll never forget, he's the goalie. And these guys just looked up to him and respected him. And at one little break, I was sitting on the sideline in a, you know, white shirt, tie, you know, just what I always wore. And he brought his friends over and says, "This is my pastor." And he expected me to give him tracts, and I had tracts. And what a witness he became almost immediately after having been saved, baptized, got in the church. On a Sunday night, a Sunday morning, I remember he came through the line. My wife and I are shaking hands, and folks are coming through. And he came through with Carrie. They weren't married then. And he said, "I'm coming back tonight." And I said, "Whoa, great." And I just thought, he's coming back tonight. He came back all right. He came back with a haircut. And now, folks, it'd be who's got long hair? Lady, you have long hair. It'd be like you came back and I could see your ears for the first time. And he came in that building, and all the girls, I remember Tanya Pelland especially, I see it right now, as he walked through, all the girls went, and they couldn't believe he cut off all that beautiful hair. And then there was happiness in their faces, because now they have the prettiest hair in the church. Sorry. But what a change. And I tell you, as I sitting here just watching him song lead tonight, and I thought about the music you used to sing and play to, and now he's conducting a church singing. And what a change in your life, preacher. And my brothers and I, couldn't be more proud of you. And thank you, church, for loving your pastor. One of the men tonight in prayer meeting said, "We didn't call him." I love that. He said, "We didn't call him to come. God, you put him here." And now, that can be interpreted one or two ways, Brother Merrill. But it was great. And I appreciate your love for your preacher and Carrie and the family. And now, Mom Zabotsky. And what a great, great place. Are you happy to be in church tonight? If you're here tonight, you weren't here last night, I don't want to shame you. I want to thank you for coming. Raise your hand. If you weren't here last night, look at that, a whole bunch of hands. And thanks for coming tonight, you dirty rats, for not coming last night. Just kidding. And do we have any folks here tonight from other churches? Raise your hand if you're from other churches. Wow, thank you for coming. We're blessed to have you. And we love it. This is a great, great crowd. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. And then we'll get out of the way and have a couple more songs. And then I'm so excited about hearing my elder brother preach tonight. You're going to love hearing my brother Darren preach. And last night, Brother Russ just brought the message, rung the bell, and gave me hope. I left last night believing what he said. We're not going to buy into this, "There is no hope." Amen? And I mean it. Not long ago, I swore off Sean Hannity. I appreciate what he's trying to do, but I can't take it too much of that stuff. And I gave up on this entire thing about worrying about, you know, is the Supreme Court going to... Listen, I have no confidence in the Supreme Court. I just don't. I'm sorry. I just don't. I live in California. Love you think that we led the way in this current movement to standardize, normalize what we would call unnatural relations. And that's exactly what it is. The same gender marriage is unnatural marriage. It's unnatural. I'm not trying to be kind about it either. That basically describes it. It's unnatural. And our state in 2008 voted against same gender unions. 54% of the population, 38 million people in California, voted against it, and the Ninth Circuit overruled it and said that that's unconstitutional. And so it went against the will of the people. Don't give up on America. And we're going to keep just trying to do what we can. And I want to preach a message tonight. I told my brother Darren, I hope that you bring something of high thinking. I hope that you cause us to soar into the heavens tonight. And I know what he's preaching is going to help us tonight. I'm going to preach a very basic message again. I'm a basic person. I don't claim... I left the public school in my sophomore year, finished sophomore high school, and went junior year to a Christian school, and they tested me and wanted to see the standard to come into this Christian school in Kinderville. And they tested me, and they said, "You're third grade math." I'll never forget sitting in that classroom, Mrs. Gail Tomisto, and she said to me, "You're third grade math." And I was being a man, and I went, "Okay." I wanted to start crying. And she said, "You can't graduate from this school unless you get to the 12th grade level of math." Now listen, I well could have graduated from Lakeland High School, which my brother graduated from. And that's not given much credit, let me tell you. I could have graduated from that crazy high school, but I had to learn, I had to work hard at it, and so I don't claim to be a very smart man. I have to read a lot to learn. I read constantly. I'll read 4 and 5 books at a time, different books at different periods of time. At the same period of time, I'm trying to get as much information as I can because it's how I learn. And so tonight I'm going to preach a basic message that I hope will be a help in Proverbs chapter number 1. I'm going to do the reading tonight, but I would ask if you can to stand and join me as I read. I'm going to read rather rapidly because I'm going to preach and get out of the way. I want my brother to have lots of time to preach in Proverbs chapter 1. I'll start in verse 22. You follow along silently if you will. "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I believe fully tonight in the sovereignty of God. I believe one of the fundamental understandings of God is that He is a sovereign God. There is no contest for Him tonight. He's fully in control. He deploys all of His resources at all times. There is no lacking in His arsenal and ability and in His knowledge. There is nothing that takes Him by any surprise. He is a sovereign God and asks counsel of no man. God does as He pleases. And when He pleases. And as and how He pleases. Period. Say amen right there, church. By the way, you got more theology just now than you're going to get in these emerging churches tonight. Our God is sovereign. Say that. Our God is sovereign. One more time. Our God is sovereign. And yet, He allows us choice. This passage puts light on the importance of making wise choices. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the simpler it gets. I'm in this little journey in my life at 50. And I'm finding out that every day I have to choose to do whatever I must do. Little happens to me anymore. I'm talking about with regard to my direction. Little just happens. I have to choose. I've learned in my life that if I want to be a happy person, I have to choose those things that make me happy. I have no control over where my children live. Used to be those kids made me happy. And then they made me mad. This morning I was with my nephew, Gabriel. He's with his dad. And Gabriel was standing with me at the deck at the cottage where we're standing. And I'm going to pray and we'll get to preaching. And he looked down and he said, "Look at Uncle Eric. That mower made a light bulb in the grass." And sure enough, I looked and I saw the light. He turned. You know, he made it look like a light bulb. He said, "In the grass." You know what I'm saying with the tires? I have to tell you, as he said that to me, I was looking at the same spot and I thought, that jerk's tearing up the grass. And then he said, "Dad, come here." He's 11 years old. And Russell came out. He said, "What, son?" He said, "Look, Dad, there's a light bulb in the grass. The mower made it." And Russ said, "Isn't that something?" He's like a dad, you know. And I'm back choking back the tears. I know it sounds silly, but I thought, God, help me to choose to be a happy person. Help me to quit looking at the stupid tires tearing up the grass. Make right choices. Father, help us tonight. Bless us tonight. Encourage us tonight. Send revival to this church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we look at our choices or choosing, it doesn't diminish God's sovereignty. The fact that I can choose to do whatever I would choose, it doesn't put God in a box. God is not servant to my choices. God already understands it from the end, from the beginning. God sees it all, much like a pilot as he flies over America. He broadcasts to the crew and to the passengers that we're now passing this mountain range and he can see ahead. We can't see because we're sitting there looking at the stupid head of hair in front of us. We can't see beyond that head of hair or maybe outside the windows this way. But he sees what's ahead. Our God sees what's coming. Amen. Our God is in control. We don't have to worry about it tonight. But at the same time, we must get into this thing of making wise personal choices. You see, ours is an ability and obligation to choose and to choose correctly. You and I make choices, important choices, each and every day of our lives. Our choice begins when we awaken. And I want to give you a little exercise tonight, church. By the way, this is one of the four great churches that I get to preach in every year. And I mean that every time, not every year, but when I come here, it's one of the great churches that I preach in. Seems to me, being your pastor, I ought to be here every year, but nevertheless, I just thought I'd... It's always a huge and humbling honor to preach in this church. And I'll say this, this man right here means the world to me. I mean that with all my heart. I thank God that I can preach in a church where a young man is keeping with it. Amen. Yeah. And the only reason he is, not because of me, I'm 2,500 miles away, is because he's choosing to. Right. Yeah. That's right. When you awaken in the morning, your choices begin. Right. I made a choice many, many years ago to never let my feet hit the floor until I pray a particular prayer every day. Right. I don't pray it verbiage exactly the same. I don't believe in that. But I pray, oh God, help me today to put my footsteps as close to yours as possibly I can. And then I pray for my people and particular needs in my life at that moment. Then I get up because if I stay there, I'll go back to sleep. Anybody with me on that one? But you make choices ever before you start your day. Could I give you this exercise? Won't you think about your day starting tomorrow morning before you just get up and rush out of there? Won't you consider God in your day? It'd be a good little exercise. Maybe before you get up tomorrow morning, hear me, maybe before you get up tomorrow morning, maybe you ought to pray before you get out of bed. And just take 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You say, "Well, that's not very long." Pray for 3 minutes. I promise you, most in this room do not pray more than 3 minutes a day. That's a terrifying truth, isn't it?
Yep.
But 3 minutes, you look at your clock, say, God, I'm going to pray for the next 3 minutes. Pray for your people. Pray for your family. Pray for God's protection. Pray for His usefulness. But your choices begin. Choices about what you're going to wear. Choices about your food. Choices, choices, choices. Some choices do not have a lot of either temporal or eternal value, but some choices are of great importance. Therefore, we must be serious about our choosing. God did not simply give us choices to be made without giving us, praise God, guidelines to help us in making right choices. He wants us to react rightly to the truth and to honor God in the choices we've made. Now, I'm going to give you about six things tonight. I'm going to give them to you rapidly. And this is a help you message. Now, this is a pastoral kind of message to help us choose God in our daily life that we might have revival. It begins, number one, God's natural laws within us. God's natural laws within us help us choose wisely. God is built into us. Whether you hate God or not, whether you love God or hate God, whether you choose to believe or not to believe, God has genetically put in all of us untouchable, intangible, natural laws written within every man and woman and child. And most of the time, we know what's right or wrong before we even choose. It's in us. We see that in Romans chapter number 2. If you could go there, I feel like I need to reference that with you looking there with me. And I won't go to all the scriptures tonight, so therefore I'd like you to write down some of these, but I'd like you to see this in this passage of Scripture. God is dealing with different classes of mankind. He starts out in chapter 1 of Romans dealing with the pagans. Then He deals with the moral man in chapter 2. Then He deals with the Jews. All of that in light of the salvation that's available to all people. And God summarizes all of us in Romans chapter 3. And He says, there is none righteous. No, not one. But then He says, as He goes on, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God has put in us natural laws. Look at verse 12. It tells us, therefore, as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their, say it, church, conscience also bearing witness, and their, say it, church, thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What the Bible is teaching us here is that God has bred into us a natural law. That natural law recognizes that I am a created being. Listen to me. Mr. Darwin has tried to erode this natural truth, but I'm telling you, deep in the heart of every person, I don't care if they claim to be atheist. I don't care if they claim to be evolutionary in mind. It doesn't matter. All of that is just smoking mirrors. The truth of God is in our hearts to know that God made me and I am responsible to Him. When I go soul winning and you go soul winning, isn't it great that inside every man, I'm not talking about a spark of divinity. I'm not talking about anything like Mr. Osteen would preach, but I'm saying inside every person is a desire to know who is God. Who is God? That natural law. But secondly, what helps us choose, and certainly if I asked for someone to give me a suggestion, you'd say, well, what helps me choose rightly is the Bible. And certainly the Bible or the Scriptures help us choose wisely. Over in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verses 3 and 4. If you can stay with me, that's great. If not, write it down and you can look at them later. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith. And he goes on these wonderful benefits of the Word of God in our lives. And what helps us choose is the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible has the answer to all life's choices. We have a lady in our church right now. She, out of wedlock, she's with child. And she is coming back to God. And she was saved years ago and backslid. And now she's going to produce a baby out of wedlock. She was told by the doctor the other day, she went to the doctor, Miss Tharp and I were, she saw her crying along the wall. Pastor, you can always catch stuff, can't you? You see your people, you see what's going on. And God directed my wife to this dear woman, and she said, what's going on? She said, I've been dying to talk to you, Pastor. I have to tell you what's going on. And she said, you know, I'm with child. And she said, I'm 5 months, I think. And she said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor did a picture of the baby, and the baby is horrifically disfigured and completely going to be born, if it survives, completely disfigured. And all sorts of terrible, terrible maladies and problems that will come with this little baby. And she said, and I don't know what to do. She said, the doctors and the nurses and the medical teams are urging me to have an abortion. And she said, I don't know. Listen to me, young people. You don't want to get to where your choices are so difficult. She's brought on herself some choices. They're so difficult. And she said, what should I do? Folks, there's no choice. There's no choice. I said, Marisol, you're going to have to trust God on this one. I said, I urge you, get right with God and repent of everything in your life and cast yourself on His mercy. She said, but what about my baby? And I said, you're going to have to trust your God. You see, the Bible gives us that conviction. The Bible, and you see, when you come through life and you're faced with difficult choices, thank God we have an anchor that is sure and steadfast, and I don't have to run by situational ethics. Ethics, the moment decision. Listen to me. When you decide to obey the Bible and make that the guide for your life, that settles so many choices that'll come into your life when you're under the pressure and the life that you thought you had is now collapsing. If you don't get settled in this Bible, you choose foolishly. It's in the moment when things come crashing down, you'd better get in this book and be in the book for the choice. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. I read the story about a boy. He was being reared by his grandpa. His pawpaw was rearing him. And the boy was sitting in the kitchen one night, and Papa said to him, son, I want you to take that basket. The boy said, Papa, we read the Bible every day, but I don't get anything out of it. He said, you read it, I don't understand what it's saying, and I just don't get it. And his papa one day said, son, I want you to do me a favor. After thinking about it, the papa said, I want you to get that basket, that wicker basket. And it's that old coal basket. He said, dump the coal out of it. And I want you to go down and get some water for us at the creek. And the boy said, well, papa, this basket's dirty and it's just a basket. He said, well, do what I told you. Just go down and get a basket of water. So the boy ran down. He's wondering, why is papa making me do this? And he went in the water and got him a basket full of water. Boys and girls, what happened? He held it up and all the water just ran right out of it. And he said, well, I'll show him I tried. He went back, said, papa, it's just dripping. That's all that's left. He said, well, son, you didn't run fast enough. Go get another basket. And so the boy went to the creek and dipped it in again. He said, my papa's crazy. And so he's running as fast as he can. And as soon as he got there, the very last remnants of the water just eked out. He said, papa, this is not working. He said, do it one more time, son, and run as fast as you can. All right. He went and dipped it in the water again and ran and came back and he set it down. He said, Papa, as you can see, I can't bring any water in a basket. But his grandpa said, Son, look at the basket. Do you see it any different? And the boy said, Well, it's clean at least. He said, that's what happens when you read the Bible. He said, you may not understand it all and you may not catch it all, but read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible because it'll guide you in choices that must be made. And making wise choices means I must stay true to the Bible. Hear me, church, don't you dare make a choice to move somewhere without God giving you light in that book. Don't you dare make a choice in life because you think you've got it all figured out. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh God, help me to obey Isaiah 30:21. Thou shalt hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left. Thank God for the Bible. Oh, we need the Bible to work in our lives, to change us inside out that we might make wise choices. Number three, He gives us the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad tonight for the precious Holy Ghost of God? John chapter number 16, Jesus is teaching us who He is, that precious third member of the Trinity in John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I'm telling you, thank God tonight, His inner witness never leads us wrong. I'll say this to you. All of this builds together. God gives us an inner witness, that is that born natural witness. God gives us His Word. And third, thank God the Holy Spirit always guides according to the Word of God. But when you don't have the book in front of you, thank God the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit and He leads you and He guides you. You won't hear Him speak. Don't you dare get confused on what I'm saying. When you got saved, the Spirit of God indwelled you. He came inside you. He'll never leave you. You don't need more of Him. He needs more of you. And since He lives in you, He'll guide you. That's why you can't go in the bars anymore. Because when you do, the Spirit of God says, we're not going in there. That's why you can't hang out with those. Hey, look at me. Look at me. That's why you can't hang out with those people anymore. Because the Spirit of God feels out of place. And I'm telling you, if you just hear what I'm saying, He'll lead you and help you make wise choices because the Spirit of God lives in us. The Bible says in Romans 16, 13, neither yield yourselves, your members, to unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to the Spirit of God that you might walk in the Spirit and do His will. Thank God. That's Galatians 5 as well. Let me give you a fourth thing. Are you still listening tonight? God gives us godly counsel. Godly counsel. I want to tell you something. Nobody, I don't care how old you are, how gray your hair is, or white, or missing, we need somebody to help us. I want to let you know something. Pastors, we don't have all the answers. I hate to say it, but probably the last guy I'm going to call about framing a wall is your pastor. I just don't think he has much knowledge on 2x4s and 16 on center. Just don't know. But I will tell you this. I would not be making life choices without consulting him, saying, Pastor, pray with me about this. I was 21 years old when I started this Mountain View Baptist Church 28 years ago last Sunday. And we went there and I was 21 and started Bible studies. And then I got the Bible studies going for 5 months. And then we started the church. I was 22 when the church started. And I remember pastoring at 22 years old. I shaved once a week. My dad said that once. He was on our first anniversary. He stood up and he said, I don't know about you, but it's kind of strange having a 22-year-old pastor. Isn't it strange, everybody? Everybody's like, yes, it is. He said, then he started it. He shaves once a week. And he drinks warm milk at night before he goes to bed. I mean, he was killing me. And there were people in their 60s that were coming to the church then. And it wasn't that I experienced everything in life. I've told you all before, I've never smoked a cigarette or drank a drop of liquor. I don't know what that does to your personal body. I've seen what it does to marriages. and cars on the highway. And I've seen what it does. I don't need to experience everything. You don't need to get hit by a truck to know what it can do to you. Amen. But I remember God giving me counsel and wisdom at 22. And so God gives the man of God that. Hear me. You need to have a man of God and faithful trust in your man of God that he will pray with you when you need help. Amen. I tell you right now, every senior in our church, senior in high school, in the months leading to Christmas, I meet with every senior. This year we've got 17 seniors graduating from high school. And I meet with every one of them and I interview them. And whether they like it or not, one little girl's been avoiding me like the plague. And her mother was standing there one recently, and I said, Mrs. Trout, I said, I'm supposed to meet with your daughter, Karis, real soon. She said, she's terrified. I said, why? She said, she's just afraid of you. I don't get it. But she doesn't want to talk to me. Now, I don't know what it is. I'm going to meet with her just because I told her we're going to. Because I want her to understand she needs counsel.
Right.
I want to say this carefully. Don't ever create an eggshell relationship with your man of God.
Right.
Don't do that to yourself. You're not going to bother him. He's going to keep on doing it. He'll pray for you. But hear what I'm saying. Lots of Christians are putting it out there. Don't even try to help me. I got it. It's unwise.
Yes, sir.
Eggshell. By the way, it's unwise to do in your home. Mister, you come home from work. Don't create eggshell relationships with your kids. You know what I mean by eggshell? Everything is just ready to fall apart. There you go. If you mess with me, I'll just crack and fall apart. Oh, God, help us to understand the value of counsel in making wise choices. I learned something, Brother Leonard. I learned this. I never give counsel unless you want it.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't want it, I'm not giving it.
That's exactly right.
Blah, 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 because that's what happens.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, let's look at the notes, because I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yes, I do. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. People who do not want to seek counsel, people who don't want to seek counsel usually want to seek to do their own will, and it usually falls apart. There's no excuse for the child of God to make wrong choices. I just said it. There's no excuse for you to make the wrong choice. Well, why in the world have we got so many wrong choices? I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
Simple as that. God said this in Deuteronomy. He said in our text passage, you're either going to choose right or choose wrong, and you'll pay the consequence for it. It comes down to choices.
Amen.
Choices. Let me give you this. Choices about salvation. Choices about salvation. You know what's what preaching is? Right here, listen to me. We preach all the time, and I'll be done in 4 minutes. We make choices about salvation. You must choose to be born again. You see, God's not going to save you whether you want to or not. The Calvinism is right out of hell. That stuff's wicked and godless. That is not Bible doctrine. That's foolish. God will save some because He wanted to, and whether they want it or not. And if they want to be saved, He won't if He doesn't want to. We know He's sovereign. There's no argument about that. But God says, whosoever will. And you make a choice about salvation. God's not going to force you to be saved. God's done everything necessary. He's left it up to you. Let me say this. We make choices about our sins. We make choices about our sins. You need counsel about that. You need counsel about that. If you're in a habit, if you're stuck in something, last night I talked a little bit about that. I hope you didn't misunderstand me. If you're stuck in something, see somebody. See one of these senior men in this church. Say, listen, I'm treating my wife like garbage. Can you help me learn to love her right? That's pretty humbling, amen? If you're an old grouch, why don't you start hanging around a little 11-year-old kid? Huh? Lighten up. You're going to live once. And you might as well live till you die. And live happy. And start instead of looking down on kids, why don't you get down like this?
Yep.
And get some counsel about your sinful attitudes. Amen? I don't mean to step on toes, but my stars, it seems to me that we need some help about some of this stuff. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Let me give you another thing. A counsel about marriage.
Right.
Marriage. I got a kid in my church. I was talking to him the other day. I said, "Here's my counsel. Don't even try to get married. He's so selfish. He is so rotten selfish." He's talking to one of the other kids about, "I'm going to find me a girlfriend." I pulled him aside and said, "Listen, last thing you need to do is marry anybody. You're so rotten, stuck on yourself and selfish." You know what I'm doing? I'm saving that kid's life. You need counsel about this. Get somebody. I'm not just talking about the pastor. Please don't kill him tonight with questions and counsel. But I am saying this. The biggest choice in your life is going to be who you marry for life. And I'll tell you something that scared me to death. If you're a young person, you don't care what your parents think. Foolish. But I love him. How many times have we heard that? But I love her. You need counsel. Don't make a quick decision. Don't go simply on the looks. Just make sure she can cook. Say amen right there. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. But you know, it's interesting. Old Leah was tender-eyed. Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And you find out where Jacob got buried.
Yeah.
Right next to Leah. You be careful about that choice you make. And right choice about service. You need counsel about that. What kind of service you do. And there's some people who should not be greeters in the church. And God knows there should be some of you not ever in the choir. Amen. God knows that. And God knows these things. And get counsel on these things. And here's what I want to say to the church. It ought to be during this meeting. You ask yourself, what is my ministry? What is my ministry? What am I doing for God? Listen to me. I don't want to be unkind, but sitting in the pew is not ministry.
Exactly right.
Now, I will say this. Keep coming sitting in the pew.
Right.
We don't like preaching to wood or wooden Indians either. Amen. But come to church. But I challenge you. Come to the man of God and say, what ministry do you want to recommend I get involved in? I guarantee he's got... some time ago, I was in a meeting and I preached it. And not that I looked to these things, but I was signing some Bibles. And this young man was standing there in his 20s. And I said, I signed his Bible. I said, "Now, son, you go to this church?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "What's your ministry?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What do you mean, what do I mean?" He said, "Well, what do you mean, what's my ministry?" He said, "I just come to church here." I said, "You're some 20 years old." He said, "I'm 22. I said, "You don't have a ministry?" He said, "No." I said, "Let me finish signing my Bible." I said, "Come on." I grabbed him by the hand, brought him right over to the pastor. I said, "Pastor, he has no ministry. Is there one you want him in?" He said, "I've been waiting to talk to you." And got that kid into ministry. Wouldn't it be something if people would step up and say, "I'll get in the bus ministry. I'll take a Sunday school class. I'll help out. Never in the nursery, bless God." Thank God I'm a man for several reasons. One of them being there are no men allowed in the nursery. But oh, listen to me. Counsel, counsel, counsel. Wrong choices can have tremendous consequences. God will not force our choices. Let me end with this. God will always give you what you want. God will always give you what you want. But it will always cost you what you've got. When the author walks on the stage, the play is over. God one day is going to invade all right. But what is the good of saying you were on his side then when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else comes crashing in? This time it'll be God without disguise. Something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It'll be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It'll be the time when we discover which side we've really chosen. Whether we realize it or not, not today, this moment, is our chance to choose the right side today. C.S. Lewis. Father, we thank you for loving us. And I pray you'd bless as we continue through the service.